why did you make the switch from Hoyer to Beckham?
I could see the way the game was going. You know, I know he needed a spark, and, you know, the CJ had put together a couple good weeks of practice. I knew he'd been getting better. I knew he was about ready, and definitely at the time, I thought he got gave us the best chance to win, and I think that going forward also.
When you get a chance to digest the film, what are your takeaways from CJ's performance?
I was excited with how he played. It was similar to, you know, pretty much the same stuff I said last night. My opinion didn't really change. By no means was he perfect. Missed a couple things, but that always happens. And I thought he came in there, didn't hesitate, competed. The moment was not too big for him, and made a few plays in rhythm, made a few off-schedule plays, and that was a big reason we got back in that game.
Well, when you say it a good week of practice, what has to happen on the practice field for a guy like that to ascend to the starting lineup?
Just to watch how he does with his reps. You know, even the scout team reps. You know, they get it on a card, but very rarely do they see the card, and we can't put it in our own terminology, and we have that play somewhere in our playbook. So just to watch him run a card, visualize it, how we're doing it, to see where he goes with the ball, not only how he's throwing, but how he goes through his progressions and handling the defense and coverages and things like that. And as you do with all rookies, you hope the more reps they get, the better they get, and I feel like he's been showing that through these weeks in practice.
5-for-11 on third down with him in the game. What did he do well in particular on third down?
Yeah, I thought he hung in there, got the ball at the right spot a few times, and when stuff wasn't there, he made a few, made a couple third downs. I don't know the exact number, but I know a few of those five where he moved with his legs and made a couple off-schedule plays that kept the play going. We'll see that as he plays. You know, he's got the ability, he's got the toughness. Each game will be different. You know, when you talk about where guys got to improve, you don't need to say like they need to learn how to throw it better, they need how to get bigger or faster. That's usually the stuff that you have by the time you get to this level. It's about playing in the game and reacting to defenses, reacting to coverages, reacting to adjustments. He's going to see a lot of things he hasn't seen before, and that'll change each week, and it'll probably change each quarter. And it's really how does a guy handle that stuff. You know, I've seen a lot of guys come in and struggle early and learn from it and end up becoming pretty good. I've seen guys come in and play very well right away and things change and they don't adjust that well. So you're never going to get a quick answer. You see over time. But it's he's got the ability to do it. I think he's got the mental toughness to do it. And I think he will get better the more he plays.
Do you have some strengths that are different than Brian's that as a head coach you can kind of incorporate moving forward with him too?
I think he's got a similar skill set to Brian in terms of, you know, his ability to throw, his ability to make all the throws and to do it from the pocket. You know, I think he is younger. He's got more legs to him. He can make some more off-schedule plays. I wouldn't say he's just the most mobile guy in the world, but he has the mobility to scramble and the arm strength to make any of those throws also.
What are the biggest areas you want to bring him in until you thought maybe for long haul you want to bring him? You know, maybe just like a half or so and waited?
No, I wanted to wait till I thought it was the right time, which, I was trying to be very patient with that, which is a challenge for naturally an impatient person. But I try to wait for it's the right time for him and the right time for the team. And, you know, I thought specifically had that time in the game, I could just had a feeling the way that game was going. So I felt the team needed it right then. And it also made me more confident to do it because I thought he was ready for it also.
You see him as a starter going forward?
Yes.
The biggest areas you've seen him grow just from when you first got him here, you know, back in the spring after drafted?
Just soaking it all in. You know, he's a guy who did run, you know, he's one of the few quarterbacks who didn't run a spread offense in college. So you could, you know, he had some understanding of from playing under center, making huddle calls, having to make some adjustments at the line, not just always going fast, the fast break type of stuff that you see in these spread offenses. So he has some familiarity with that stuff, but now to get him in and, you know, we do a lot more than he did do. So just to get him reps with all of our keepers, with the play actions, the different type of dropbacks, playing under center, under gun, in gun. He is a gym rat. He doesn't do it to impress you. He does it because he enjoys it. He's pretty passionate about football. It's very important to him. It's, I think it's similar with a lot of people. You know, he's grown up around football his whole life. He's had a lot of family members in it. And that doesn't mean that everyone's like that, but you can tell he's a guy who's been around football forever, and it's extremely important to him. And you can tell he carries his, the way he carries himself, that's important to him in every aspect of his life.
See from him in college that made you and John Lynch want to draft him to the stuff you just mentioned now?
Yeah, you know, any time. I'm always trying to look for a quarterback who I think has the ability to play in this league, which to me starts with your throwing ability. And you need guys who are tough enough to hang in there and who have just that natural feel and intelligence that they can handle it all and keep their eyes down the field and get the ball to the right spot. You know, it's not, when I say intelligence too, that can be overrated. Like it's not like the smartest guys know where to go with the ball. It's more, can you handle all the stuff, handle the calls, handle the different coverages, and can you react? It takes a very natural guy to sit in there and react to things when a lot of bigger guys are coming at you trying to kill you every play. Can you be poised, keep your heart rate even, keep your eyes downfield, not flinch, and make quick, impulsive decisions? And you can see some of that stuff on tape. It's easier seeing offenses where guys do have to hold on to the ball sometimes. It's not always just spread out and throwing bubbles and things like that. And that's what you saw in CJ. And you never know for sure until you get someone, but I think he has the personality to become a pretty good one.
You mentioned the ability to make all the throws. Some draft evaluators before the draft question his arm strength. You don't question it at all?
No.
What do you see?
Yeah, I see him make every throw, just like the ones I think you guys have seen him make since he's here. So, yeah, I get confused with that stuff too. I don't know. I just go with what I see.
You guys are among the league leaders in drop passes. How do you coach that up? Do you tell the guys, you know, more times in the jugs machine? Is it maybe a mental thing? How do you approach that aspect as a coach?
If you have good hands and you're having drops, then it's a huge mental thing. And, you know, it doesn't get easier. The more you drop it, it gets harder to catch it because now you're starting to think about stuff. And I think the key to sports is playing with a very clear mind where you can just attack, don't flinch, don't hesitate, and not think about that type of stuff. And the more you drop, I mean, just human nature, the more it's going to be harder to catch it. Just like the more a guy misses free throws and the more people talk about it, it doesn't get easier. You tighten up. So how do you get through that? You have to gain that confidence. I know me personally, I always recommend getting on jugs, not just sitting there and playing catch, standing in place, but running back and forth, full speed, attacking the ball, running through the ball, doing it over and over again until your mind is shut off and it becomes automatic. If you're a guy who doesn't have very good hands, you better bring a lot of other stuff to the table, or it's just a matter of time before we got to find someone else. They didn't throw it to me enough, but I never dropped anything. There was only a few of them.
Next step for Brock Coyle.
What's that? I just want him to continue to do what he's doing. I mean, there was no, you know, I know we put some pressure on Brock last week by putting him in there. You know, we still weren't sure about what Ruben's status was going to be. But by no means was that just, hey, Brock, this is your deal. You know we're waiting for Ruben to get healthy, and he'll have that mic position when he gets back. But Brock's played a lot in this league. You know, he started a number of games for Seattle. Got to start our first one last week. I thought he started off slow, but I thought he turned it on in the second half and played some pretty good football in the second half. Brock's very conscientious, gets our guys lined up very fast. He works as hard as anyone. He does contribute a lot on special teams when he's playing. And I think Brock can, just like anyone, I think he can get better the more he's out there. Hope to get some guys back, too, so we can take some of that off of him. But the more Brock plays, the better he will get. And I thought he showed that yesterday. I thought he's, you know, like I just said, it started off a little slow. I thought he got it better throughout the game. And Brock's a guy that I do have confidence in.
Is that behind the long touchdown to Aldrick, was that just CJ improvising? Or?
Yeah, it was a little of both. You know, we were expecting a quarter's coverage to run something over the top. The quarter safety, they ended up playing single safety, and the corner on the outside stopped on Trent Taylor, and Aldridge just kept going, and he was supposed to go to the post for a certain coverage, and they had a busted coverage, so he just hung out there, which is why CJ didn't see it right away, because he wasn't where he was expecting him to be. But then we had enough protection to where he could take a couple more hitches. He broke the pocket a little bit, and he saw where Aldrich was, and he didn't hesitate and made that throw with that arm strength.
Towards the sideline a little bit.
Well, yeah, because he wasn't expecting to be there, so he was a little late with it. And when that happens, if you lob that up too far, I always say the man can travel faster than the ball, especially when it's far down the field. So you gotta get it there as quick as you can and keep it away from that guy, which allowed Aldrick to make a play after and get in the end zone.
What went into the keeping Ruben out, and when was that decision made? Was that Saturday, or was that something you made Sunday morning?
No, I had a pretty good feel on it Friday. Just watching how he went Friday, I mean, probably no one in the world wanted him to play besides my, I mean, as much as me and Ruben. I'd take that back. A lot of guys in this building wanted him to play pretty bad, and I don't know what Ruben did also, and it was very hard to go against our want, but he was close all week. But I didn't think he put together 3 days 100% like we wanted him to. And I just had to go against what we wanted, and I felt like it was much better for Ruben. And it was tough to do, but I'm glad we did it.
Do you have any updates on Eric Armstead's hand and Aaron Lynch's calf?
Eric broke his hand. He's going to need surgery, so it's going to be some time. And Lynch has a calf strain. I think that's what we call it, calf strain. And that's going to be week to week. Right now, it's just doing his job. You know, he's done a good job in everything I've asked him to do, how he's carried himself. Brian's gone out there and done his best. I know it hasn't been perfect. I take responsibility for that, too. You know, I wish I could have made things easier on Brian and helped him more. And I know the guys around him wish they could have done the same. Brian hung in there, did everything we asked him to do, didn't play at the level we wanted him to, and I know we didn't help him much from the players around him and myself. So Brian's been great about it. He handled it great, and I think he will handle being a number two quarterback very well also.
A couple more?
Without Eric for a little while now, how do you like your depth on,
How do I like what?
Your depth on the defensive line without Eric out there.
The more guys you lose, the less you like that depth. So, losing Eric, which could be some time. We're going to have to discuss IR. We'll have to do that over the next couple of days. And, we're going to have Lynch out, too, for at least a week, possibly most likely more. That takes away two guys who were helping. So hopefully we'll get Dakota back this week, which would help because I know he missed last week with his groin. And hopefully that'll getting him back will help that depth, and I'm sure we're going to have to get someone else here.
How about Solomon Thomas? It looked like he made some plays in the running game, and he had that sack. How do you evaluate his progression, particularly now that Eric's going to be?
I hope he keeps coming. I think he's had, no one just gets better each week. He goes for it every week. I thought he took a little bit of a step back versus Indy, and I thought he took a step forward this week. I thought he played relentlessly, played very hard. Kept working, got that sack opportunity, and I think he had a number of tackles. I don't know the exact number. It was 9 or 10 or something, and that's because of how hard he was working. He was doing some good things, and he definitely had an effect on that game versus a very good O-line.
With the plan with Elvis Dumervil, just given coming off the injury last year, was the plan with him maybe to ramp him up as the season goes on, and could he get more snaps now that Eric is out?
It's tough because the plan is to try to keep all those guys fresh, and I'd love to keep Elvis fresh. But he's one of our better third down pass rushers. The way he gets off the ball and he knows how to get to the quarterback, and the fresher guys are, not just at D line, but at every position, the better they play. And that's why I think a number of teams around this league try to keep a lot of D linemen and do that. It's tough as the year goes when you have injuries. You just got to deal with it. We will always try to keep guys fresh if we can, but that's definitely getting harder as we go.
I call versus Garcon. Was the play not designed for the ball to go to Hyde against man coverage?
No, it's anytime you run a man coverage play, guys running to the flat is not a good play for man coverage because it's hard to get open running a flat route. You're just running to the flat. That's usually for zone. Pierre's running a slant, which is for man. The guy guarding the flat runs into Pierre, who's running a slant, which makes now the flat open. So if you think about it, that's why you hope you go to the flat after that happens. But in man coverage, why guys on defense, when you play man coverage and you're having to guard a guy on a flat route and they're bumping outside on the slant, that's why it's very important from a defensive standpoint, you play at different levels. Because if you don't and you're chasing a guy to the flat as a guy's running a slant, you will run into that slant runner every time and usually get a defensive pass interference.
So in that slant flat concept, you don't coach the slant receiver to run a rub route against man coverage?
No, we coach him to run a slant route. And that is probably the first thing that everyone in the history of football goes to their receivers. When they know it's man and it's a five-man rush, the first thing you're going to look at is, can we even throw a slant? And that's why we call it a slant play on the play.
Got an explanation on that at all?
No.
Did you see Zach Brown's comments afterwards? He said he was playing that hoping to get a flag for OPI.
Yeah. No, I didn't see it.
Okay.
Yeah.
You hear that? What is
last one?
The opposing player is saying that he predicted it and that he played it a certain way.
No, I mean, I know what happened to him. He, He hesitated looking back. We snapped the ball. He was a little bit late to guard his guy from the flat. He didn't play a different level. That's why he ran into Pierre, because he was a little bit out of position.
Thank you.